We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Order, maybe a lower ceiling, but a very high floor. Zach Frazier, okay? I'd get Mims. If Frazier somehow falls to 51, I will sign the card myself in my own blood for that. So Crowley should be happy to hear that they've got their center, and he's from West Virginia. West Virginia. I think you can find value, though, at center later in the draft. Now, I know that that makes people leery because of Kendrick Green, but when you look at Cedric Van Pran Granger from Georgia and Hunter Norzad from Penn State, especially Van Pran Granger, because Hunter Norzad did play other positions at a smaller school. Van Pran Granger.
Cornell.
Big Red.
The
dregs of the Ivy. I hope Aditi's not listening. She'll be very upset. Or Sarah Spain of ESPN. I think in Van Pran Granger and, to a lesser extent, Norzad, you can get value there. I also think you can get value at wide receiver. So I do think there's a way with your first four picks, 20, 51, 84, 98, that you can actually identify all these needs with guys who are relatively premium players or can start immediately. But you have to go in the following order. Tackle, cornerback, wide receiver center, or center wide receiver, however that your particular board falls. I don't think they're actually going to do that, though. Like, you know what would sound like a perfect draft for me if Frazier's not there at 51 and you don't want to trade up? Mims, you're going to be nervous because we just heard Steve Palazzolo call this guy a little bit of a project. Max Melton, Rutgers, corner. Give me, you know, Leggett somehow drops to 84, although he seems to be rising lately from South Carolina, the receiver. And then give me Van Pran Granger at 98. And I'm a pretty happy guy.
There's just, like, I have, having watched virtually all of West Virginia's games because of who I'm married to, and the fact that for 2 years I've heard that Frazier is going to be a really good NFL center, why would I instead use the 20th pick on a guy that's only played five games there, and it was back in 2020, 4 years ago, and now all I'm hearing is that he's like a virtual lock to be this great center for years to come when we don't really have any evidence to go by other than we just look at the way he's shaped and the way he moves and we think he would be great at that position. I'm just not – I don't want to make that type of player the headline of my draft, given their – whiffs and their swings and misses and their mistakes with offensive linemen and thinking, oh, this guy's really this, but he really played here, but we think he'd be better off there. Yeah, he was a right guard, but let's make him play left guard. He was a left guard, but let's make him a center.
Those Kendrick
he was a left
Green,
tackle, so let's make him a right tackle.
The Kendrick Green wounds are deep for you.
And it goes on and on and on with them, yes. And so I just give me, if I'm going to get offensive linemen in this draft, give me guys who they have a proven track record, they played this position in college, and they were very, very good at it, and it's not going to take getting them to the drawing board or copious hours in the lab late at night, getting to the facility at 3 a.m., working individually with coaches to get the position down pat. I don't trust them with that. They've given me no reason to think, oh, well, they made Al Villanueva, a wide receiver who played left tackle, when they had a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Exactly.
Does hand size matter for you at all at center?
Why is he enormous hands?
Zach Frazier's got like a pair of Rawlings baseball gloves.
He's
for
got
hands.
Very short arms, though.
Is he a T-Rex then? The guy has almost 11-inch hands. He's almost got a pair of Druckenmillers.
Yeah. I didn't know that about his hand size. Here is, let's get to Lou, one of our favorites in Staten Island on the Steelers draft. All right, Lou, what do you want to see happen tonight?
Hey, boys, long time no talk. I want to extend an apology to Chris first, if I may. Last time I called, I got a little excited and used an S-word that I shouldn't have used.
Oh, yes, you did. But that was funny. We laughed at that, Lou, even though we had to let you go. Apology accepted.
Yeah, understood, man. When I hung up, I laughed a little too, but then I felt bad because I just slipped, you know?
What do you got for us, Lou?
What are we going to do? You know, you just said it right there, Andrew. They're all over the place with the offensive line. Why can't we draft somebody in the position they're supposed to play? This Dan Moore issue clouds where I think they should go, right? I mean, make a decision. Either put Broderick Jones where he should play and then maybe draft the position that they're using what's-his-face to play and go from there. Or take the corner from Iowa. That's not a bad move either. Or you do one other thing, which I would do. Draft, go back. Get a couple of more picks. I mean, you know, I'm not thinking to go way back, but if you go a handful of picks back and pick up another second round or a third round, that's
Buffalo,
what I would do.
Buffalo's at 28. They want to move up to 20. They're willing to give you the 60th pick in the draft. Are you doing that deal, Lou?
It depends who's on the board. If the center from Oregon State or Oregon is there, maybe not. It really depends who's left. If it's somebody that I really wanted who's gone, then I do make the deal, yes.
I just think we don't know. We're all in the dark on this right now. We're all blind to it. But of all the outcomes, them moving back is the thing that excites me
the most
right
like.
Now. Yep.
Now, how you have very good sources. You talk to a ton of people.
I don't think they'll move back.
You work the room.
I don't think they'll do it.
What are you getting a sense on? And do you feel like this is a very hard to predict situation at the moment, generally, like what they're going to do? Do you feel like they are successfully clouding things right now?
I think the Barton stuff is real. I think if he's there, they'll probably take him. And Dulac said that today, and Kuiper is all but guaranteed it. He put out a list of like three or four guys who he thinks if this player's there, that team will take him. One of them's Joe Alt to the Titans, which is also like universally mocked. Like everyone thinks that will happen. He'll be in Nashville, the Notre Dame left tackle. And now the latest one is Barton. So I do think I know for a fact that there's one very, very prominent member of their front office who loves this guy. And I think it has a lot to do with the athleticism. And he gets out there and you can see him in space and he can pull around and just a great blocker in the open field and at the next second level and all that stuff. And they're salivating over that. I was going to bring this up before we brought Palazzolo on last hour. Then we got sidetracked because of technical issues and everything. Pompeiani brought up Cooper DeJean now, I got to say.
DeJean.
Like the mustard. Cooper DeJean.
Yep.
That's been confirmed. It is DeJean.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have any Cooper DeJean?
Yes. Pomp said he thinks that could be their pick. That's gotten a lot of love in the last day or two. His name has come up a lot.
Do you know why? I think it's for the same reason that they probably like Barton. Hyper-athletic guy and a versatile athletic guy.
You've got that in Minka, though.
I know,
you have your chess. You have your queen
better.
On the chessboard that you move all over the place. They've got this fascination, it seems. I'm projecting on them, but just all the intel we're getting, they've got this obsession with guys that can do a lot of stuff. How about jack of all trade, master of none? I'm not a fan of that. Give me a guy that's great. You know, Mike Tomlin derogatorily said Mike Wallace was a one-trick pony. It was a great trick. Dude ran past people and caught 75-yard touchdowns. I didn't really need him working on something else. That's like the Pirates. Hey, Garrett Cole, you got this big fastball, but let's have you tinker with that curveball. Let's get you work on that secondary pitch. Now just blow that thing by him. So, like, I want a center who plays center. I want a right tackle who plays right tackle.
It sounds like you want
higher
ceiling.
I want a corner who
low.
Plays corner.
Okay, it sounds like you're pining for the following then. I'm going to define your draft philosophy in four words. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Higher floor, lower ceiling.
Well, definitely at positions where I think they have a tendency to screw things up.
Which
are? Corner and offensive line right now would be two of those spots.
What aren't the positions where they have a tendency to screw
things
up? Well,
wide receiver, even though we've gone through it, it's more of a mixed bag than the national media lets on. Like, I do think if they drafted a guy with big upside there,
you'd at least give him a chance.
Yeah, I would. That's why I'm probably more receptive to Thomas with the 20th pick than you are.
Pun intended?
Sure. What?
Receptive?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't intended.
Edge rushers? I mean, do you think they draft those well?
They do. Look at Alex Highsmith in the third round. Although Jarvis Jones would be.
And Bud Dupree. Well, I can't even
use. Dupree was a late bloomer.
Yeah. Jarvis is the one I got to use there.
Donnie, what's your dream scenario? Mine's trading down. Mine's moving back 7 or 8 spots.
Mine is Mims,
getting the extra picks.
Mims Melton, I guess I'm saying here. No, my dream scenario is Mims Frazier, and they don't move to get either one.
Taking a call at 20, maybe from the Bills. I don't know, like a wide receiver hungry team. Brian Thomas is still on the board. Move back to 28, get pick 28, get pick 60 in the second round, and then I don't know, maybe something later on. I'm not sure what would come to be. And then I'm going to guess that Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier are both still there.
So who would you
if
take in that situation?
If they're not both still there, at least one of them will be.
Who would you take among those two, though?
I mean, I've been on the Powers Johnson train for a while.
Don't get off it now, Donnie. We're right there. We're almost at the last stop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sticking with him. Okay. But, I mean, if they take Frazier...
You're not going to hate it.
Yeah, I'm going to be very happy with that, too.
Uh-huh.
Palazzolo described Powers Johnson as like a sumo wrestler. That's why teams are actually scared of him. He can't play and run in zone schemes. He's a lumbering giant out there, apparently.
I don't know. I saw a few of those plays where they'd get him out in open space, they and he might would just send a defensive back like into next Thursday.
Could completely bamboozle us. They've done it in the past. Maybe Fittipaldo will shed some light on this, too. I get the impression that Barton is one on their center board, Frazier is two, and Powers Johnson is actually third.
I would agree with that.
That's the impression that I get. To quote the mighty, mighty Boston Stones.
Remember when they were talking about how Powers Johnson lit up the Senior Bowl? Did you hear like one thing saying, oh yes, and the Steelers took notice of that? I didn't. The thing I have heard the most is that they actually internally, there are people there who like Frazier, who really want them to get Frazier. There are voices in that room pushing for Frazier.
I've heard that too.
That in their perfect world, they take a tackle. I think Mims is actually a guy they love realistically who will be there. I'm not saying they think he's the best tackle, but they love the upside. That in their perfect world, it's tackle, and then they get Frazier.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Okay, this guy, in my opinion, locally, no one covers the draft better, more thoroughly than our next guest from the Post-Gazette. He is Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, story today in the PG, Jerry Dulac saying that there's someone in the Steelers organization who claims that Graham Barton is a, quote, generational talent. Ray, can you tell me when he became a generational talent, because at no point during the college football season do I remember anyone who covered the draft saying, hey, there's this kid at Duke who will be, quote, a generational offensive center. In fact, they were saying that about the kid at Oregon and to a lesser extent, Frazier at West Virginia. So what the F, man? What changed?
Yeah, I mean, isn't the draft funny that way? You know, I think it's a couple of things, guys. He did play left tackle at Duke, and when the season's going on and people are looking at these guys, I don't know if they get really deep into the weeds about where they're eventually going to play in the NFL. So I can understand why, you know, in November, December, that he wasn't, considered one of the top centers. But, you know, we talked about this last week. I told you this guy was coming up draft boards. Yep. I think you guys saw what Merrill Hodge said today about him. So it's not
he said
just,
best player in the draft.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jerry's source inside the building too. And then, Merrill and what he said. So I think the reason is his athleticism. He's a really good athlete. They think they can get him outside. They can get him up to the second level and he can really help out in the running game. And I don't think there's much of a projection there, guys. I know people want to talk about the Kendrick Green thing. I think NFL people are a lot more at ease with this transition than maybe some of the Steelers fans are.
Well, that's because guys
that includes me, by the way, who's not at ease.
Yeah,
by it.
He is not at all. But Ray, I think it's easy to say that he's not Kendrick Green 2.0, mainly because he's actually 6'5". I think Kendrick Green was like an inch and a half taller than Donnie, who's 5'11". and only slightly more muscular. Are there any big Zach Frazier fans in particular in that room, you think, for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Zach Frazier is a really good player. He took a visit to the Steelers, so I think, they really like him. I think one overlooked aspect of what's going to happen tonight and tomorrow, we all know they're going to take a center at some point, but the guy who was running the draft board is an offensive lineman. He played center at Villanova. He was a really good player at Villanova. So if there's anyone who knows what a good center looks like or what goes into being a good center, I think Andy has it figured out at this point. So, we all know he wants to bring him, more physicality to the Steelers. But whether it's Frazier or Jackson Powers Johnson or Barton, let's say it's Barton at 20. Or let's say it's Frazier at 51. I would feel really good if I was a Steelers fan, knowing that Andy is the one who set the board, and Andy knows what goes into making a good center. So I think people have to pay attention to that a little bit. He really knows offensive line play, and he specifically knows centers as well.
Ray, I respect all of that, what you said about Weidel. I think it's all true. I'm a big Andy Weidel fan. I hope, though, because he knows offensive line play, he looks at the guy wearing a black and gold 65 jersey and goes, we've got to address that and get him out of the starting lineup and right quickly. And I just worry that they're not going to be able to do that with a high-end guy if they take a center in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dan Moore is going into the last year of his contract. He's not going to get a second contract here. I know the desire is for all Steelers fans for Dan Moore not to be the starter week one in September. And I get it. But I think whether you get your tackle in the first, the second, or the third round, I think Dan Moore is on borrowed time. I think at some point during the season they're going to make that switch. Broderick is going to go to the left side, and whoever they draft tonight or on day two tomorrow, we'll be the starter at right tackle. So we've been so hyper-focused on the Fatanus and the Fuagas and the Mimses of the world that, it could be a guy like Blake Fisher in the second or third round or Patrick Paul in the second or third round. So there are some other good options on day two, but, we just have to wait to see how it plays out tonight.
Ray, just to make sure we're on the same page, you think right now that Barton is the likeliest player to be their first-round pick?
Well, here's why I used to be on the men's bandwagon, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's Barton or one of the tackles. The reason I got off the men's bandwagon a little bit is just because the Steelers need to win now. They got Russell Wilson as their quarterback. They made all these big offseason moves to bolster their defense. They don't need to wait on Amarius Mims to be the guy by November or December or by 2025. They need somebody to step in right now and play offensive line. So that could be Fatanu. He's 24 years old. It'd be a good pick at right tackle. It could be Fuaga or it could be Barton. It's just the more I think about it now, I think they need somebody who could start right away, and I don't know if Mims can start right away.
How do you think they have those three players then ranked on their draft board, the two tackles from the Pac-12 and then Barton, if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, and obviously I don't know.
Yep.
I would say they have Fatanu, Fuaga, and then Barton. But I'm telling you guys, I think we're going to see quarterbacks and offensive linemen go off the board first. I mean, there's virtually no big-name defensive players in this draft. Unfortunately for the Steelers, I think those offensive tackles are going to go after the quarterbacks, and Barton might be the best guy remaining when they pick at number 20.
So you think it's off the table that we've just figured out that his name is not Dijon, it's Cooper Dijon, like the mustard. You don't think that there's a real chance that if he slides because of a run on tackles, the Steelers would actually bite at 20?
I wouldn't put it past them. You know, if they really feel strongly that, you know, he could be a guy who's a difference maker in that secondary. I just think the way they brought in offensive linemen this year and the way they paid attention to him at the Senior Bowl, they've just been really focused on that position. So if there was an equally graded player at 20 on the offensive line in a corner, I would say they would definitely go offensive line. But listen, if all those offensive linemen are gone and it's between Dijon and another corner for that pick of 20, then obviously they'd go with Dijon, I think.
Peter Schrager's very plugged in. He's got the Steelers taking Thomas Jr., and he still thinks they make a huge move at wide receiver, is how he phrased it. How plausible is that, Ray? How realistic is that?
Well, I mean, they were at his pro day, but he didn't take a visit here. I wouldn't put it past the Steelers to take a receiver at 20. I would just be a little bit surprised if they did. They would have to feel really, really strongly about that because just the way this team's built right now, you know, they want to win with the running game. Arthur Smith is a run-first guy. I just think it's a no-brainer that you would take the O-lineman first and then take advantage of this deep receiver class second. But, again, it would come down to best player available, highest-rated player on the board. And if Thomas is that guy and all the offensive linemen are gone, then it could be Thomas.
Do you expect Omar Khan to do any wheeling and dealing as far as trades, period, whether it's tonight or any other night of the draft, Ray?
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think if they know who their guy is and they want to go get him, they would do that. The Ayuk thing kind of seems to have settled down a little bit. There seems to be some other teams involved now, so I'm sure the Steelers are doing their due diligence here, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. So, probably more a trade up than a trade for a guy like Ayuk. But, yeah, I think if they know they want to get a guy, just like Jones last year, I don't think they would hesitate to do it.
All right, crystal ball, Ray. Your official Steelers 20th or first round prediction for tonight is?
Well, this was my guy 2 days ago when I published my final mock draft. I'm going to stick with Troy Fatanu, tackle out of Washington.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo, live draft coverage, does an awesome job over at the Post-Gazette. Thanks, Ray.
All right, guys. See you.
He's old, and we had Tony Pauline on, who's covered the draft for 30 years, say there might be a disturbing medical with him.
Might be a degenerative long-term knee thing.
But I hear no one else talk about that. And the reaction might be, well, then it's no big deal. But what's happened, like with Darnell Washington last year, he plummets in the draft. Everyone's like, what's going on? He's been Mel Kiper's highest-ranked player for, like, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Ian Rappaport pops on and says, oh, by the way, guys, like, yeah, he had a horrible medical review. Something they think one knee doesn't have any cartilage in it.
Shouldn't be a problem in the short term. Could wind up impacting his longevity in the pros. You know who else has a knee without much of any cartilage in it?
Malzi.
Yep.
How's it going for you?
I'm not a pro athlete, so I wouldn't call it great.
Ian, other teams that are moving and shaking in this first round tonight, who's it going
to
be?
First of all, one of the bigger pressure points when you get out of the top 10, when you get to the back end of the top 10, is the New York Jets. They're going to be on the clock with some very, very good players there for them. Does a team try to come up? Perhaps the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe they come up for a skill guy. Perhaps the Rams. I know they've made some phone calls. The Steelers have made phone calls about potentially trading up as well. There's going to be a lot of action right up in the early part of the teams, mainly because there's going to be so many highly rated players, offensive tackle, receiver, probably the second defensive player, still on the board.
All right, so total request Thursday.
T-O-T.
You asked for it. You wanted us to talk about Steelers draft targets. So here is the segue into that. Ian Rappaport just moments ago on NFL Network citing the Steelers as one of a handful of teams who are not looking to, but have actually made the calls to try to move up. The first team that Ian mentions is the Jets at 10. We know what it costs to go from 20 to 10 because the Steelers did that in 2019. Hate to bring it up. For Devin Bush. And they traded their first, their second, and then a third in the following draft for Devin Bush.
I have a pet peeve you just hit right there.
What's that?
You said they traded their first, their second, and their third, which is technically what happened, but everyone assumes the first round swap there, and I just say, what was the stuff other than the first round picks that got moved?
But if I just said second and third, people would be like, oh, that's not that much.
No, they wouldn't, because they would know that they were trading the first round pick.
Well, they would know in the case, you're right. In this case, they would have. I probably didn't even need to say what they sent to Denver in the pick.
Current Cleveland Brown,
Devin Bush.
Do you think, so we all agree that one of the fun but maddening parts of trying to predict any of this is lying season in the NFL. It behooves teams, general managers to lie, specifically to reporters, even to plugged in national ones. Now, there's stuff that we all agree on is very likely to happen because at some point, like, somebody tells the truth.
Sure.
I just wonder in the case of, like, Omar Khan, you've got Rappaport there, right, reporting this that they have called about moving up. Does he, like, get off the phone and go, can you believe this? I told him we're thinking about moving up for a player. And just, it's all bull.
So let's connect dots here.
You know what
though.
I
mean, Donnie
I just wonder how often that happens.
Donnie has come into work the last couple of days, and this is not him. This is not the guy at his job who's, like, tinkering with his fantasy football lineup for hours on end when he should be making sales calls. Donnie has been poring over drafts and trying to crystallize his draft thoughts and mock drafts because he's hosting our draft show in a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Donnie's been looking at like every team's pick before the Steelers. If let's just go with what Rap Sheet said there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the teams that are talking to the Jets about moving up to 10. Who do you think they would be targeting with the 10th pick?
That would either have to be one of the like big, I don't know, three or four tackles, you could say, which like Alt is, I think, still the consensus number one, even though Latham is getting put ahead of him in a couple. But like Alt, Latham, Fuaga, maybe Fashanu, or it's a receiver. I don't know what else it could be. They're not going to move up there to take a quarterback.
They're not moving up to 10 to take a corner.
Yeah, I don't think they would need to move up that far to take a corner.
So the team that
they're not
going to
take an edge rusher.
Remember, last year they wanted to leapfrog the Patriots because they thought Bill had his eyes on Broderick Jones, and the Jets are always looking to screw over the Patriots, so they were a willing partner there.
No, it was the other way around.
The other way around. Jets wanted Jones, and the Patriots knew it, and they know that Bill likes to screw over the Jets, and so they jumped
Thank
up
you.
With New England.
Thank you for fixing that. So who... Right now, it's the Vikings at 11, but everybody thinks the Vikings are going to trade out of that spot.
Including Donnie.
So let's say they make... What's the deal? The Vikings go up to 5 with the Chargers?
That's what a lot of people seem to think will happen.
And then the Chargers would be at 11. Who do the Steelers think the Chargers would take at 11 that they would need to get to 10?
Could be Latham.
Latham.
Well, they already have... why am I blanking on his name? It wasn't Darisaw. It was, who's the other guy?
Slater,
thank you. Rashawn Slater. But they've been in the market for, they've been talking about.
No.
I'm talking about the Vikings.
Yeah, no, Vikings are going to 5 because they're taking J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah,
so it's the Chargers who would move back to 11, and you would leapfrog them, the Chargers, at 11. You'd be trying to get one spot ahead of the Chargers so you could take the player that they wanted before they did.
No, I'm saying that I think the Chargers would want a tackle. To go with the tackle they already... That is what I was trying to say.
No, I thought Darisaw played for the Vikings.
No, and I corrected it and said Rashawn Slater.
Okay. The kid from Northwestern.
But they want another tackle there, I think.
Because
they had been talked about, the Chargers... Remember, we've seen them as high as, like... We've seen Fuaga. The highest I've seen Fuaga is going to the Chargers at 5. Just them just saying, nope, we love this guy. And we'll take him at 5 to play right tackle. Because Slater is a left tackle.
And now it seems like Latham might be that guy.
I don't think either one of those tackles, I think Latham has a chance to have a very long, very good career. I don't think he's ever going to be Lane Johnson where we're like talking about him as one of the great right tackles of all time.
Wearing a dog mask.
I think Fuaga is going to be really good too, and I would love him at 20. I'm not giving up 2 additional picks or 1 really good pick to move up to get one of those tackles. The only guys I would do that for... And it's interesting that Rappaport is the person who's saying this. He was the guy at the Combine who said that the Steelers were a trade-up partner for Rome Odunze. He said they're doing their homework, they're talking to him here, because the perception around the league is that they think he's so good, they would actually go up to get him. Now, nothing that they've done since, they didn't send Tomlin to Washington's pro day, they didn't bring him in for a visit, He probably wouldn't have wanted to come here for a visit because, like, I'm not going to be on the board at 20, but whatever. But I just, that stuck with me that back in February, they were connected to him.
But I think if you're trading up to get to 10, right, for Odunze, you might be a pick late because I think a lot of people still feel the Bears might do that at 9.
You'd have to lay the groundwork with the team at 10, the Jets, and say, hey, keep us in mind if the Bears take a defensive player at 9 Odunze is still there.
Right.
This is what we would offer you for him.
My gut tells me they are going to take Odunze, though, at 9, the Bears.
They could take a defensive guy, too, Chris, because their coach is a defensive first guy.
But they do they need D-line?
Okay, but
they
they do.
They need a lot of stuff.
But let's continue to talk this out. If the Bears did if Rome Odunze is there at 10.
Yes.
Is he the type of player that you'd want to give up the kitchen sink for and say the hell with like filling all of these holes? This is such a good player and transcendent player.
Okay.
He's worth mortgaging future and even present for to get.
I have two opinions that run against each other here. I think Rome Odunze will be the best receiver in this draft. That is opinion one.
And that is saying a lot because Marvin Harrison Jr. is in this draft.
I think he will
and
be.
For 2 years, we've looked at him as the best maybe player in college football.
I think there's a chance Marvin Harrison Jr. has a very, very good pro career and is remembered as the third best receiver from this draft behind Neighbors and Odunze.
Okay.
So that is opinion one. Mouthful. Odunze, Mulsey's pick, best receiver in the draft. Here is my problem. You are probably sick of me saying it. You are probably thrilled to get off the air here in 22 minutes because I've said this so much. Tell me where the footballs are in Arthur Smith's offense historically for two big-time wide receivers, which is what you would then have. Tell me where the footballs go.
If he can't get both of those guys involved, well, then I'd fire him, and he's not
I'm not asking you that question. Tell me where they go historically based on what he's done.
I don't think they historically, it wouldn't go anywhere, but there's never been a second receiver as good as Odunze, and frankly, Pickens would become their second wide receiver in that offense.
Well, you wouldn't tell George that. You'd just like have a separate conversation. George, you're the number one wide receiver. Meanwhile, you tell Rome, you're doing all the real stuff here. But I
would do that in a heartbeat if he fell to 10.
I would be excited for it, and I think I would do it. But then I would come in tomorrow and say, Pony, this is a thrilling move. I think they just traded up for the best receiver in this draft, a guy who has borderline Hall of Fame potential. Then I would pause. I'd let you go, thank you, Mulsey, you're right. And then I'd say, man, I hope Arthur Smith doesn't. And I would probably want to swear, F it up.
Donnie, what would you do in this situation? Would this tickle your fancy if he's still there? He's dropping like a rock. He's there at 10. The Jets want extra picks. They want to move back.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to be there around that point. I mean, it would kind of surprise me if he went ahead of Neighbors and Harrison, and we already know that there's going to be at least three quarterbacks.
Probably
a lot of people guessing four, and then a tackle thrown in. Atlanta seems like the first team that'll actually take a defensive player. So he's going to be around 9 or 10, but I don't think I would be on board with it. That's not me saying that the guy isn't going to be a good player, but I come down where Chris does again. Like, you are really mortgaging something here if you were willing to give up multiple picks, probably multiple first-round picks.
It sounds to me like, really, for you guys, there's not a guy at all you'd move up for. So the whole
No, I would move up for Odunze, but I would have trepidation about how they'd use him. But I think he's the best receiver in the draft, will be the best receiver.
I know
the
you're
pros.
On board with moving up like two or three spots, but it sounds to me like you don't want to make a Devin Bush trade for anybody in this draft. There's not one player.
I'd want to see more something like last year, or, I mean, I know this is going back over 20 years, but like, when they moved up for – when Polamalu, they moved up like 10 spots for. But I was going to say something in like a 5 to 6 spot range where it's like you're not getting raked over the coals here.
This gets back to to how you rank and rate receivers. Like, let's say Donnie's on the air and all of a sudden there's something – they don't like the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't work out for anybody and now does not want to join the NFL union and you can't buy – mm-hmm. his jersey.
Yes.
And people are freaking out. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 10, you are asking them to make that trade, right? Or still no?
I'd be more on board with that than a Odunze.
But that's still
because
not,
I think
That's still a reluctant yes. That's still, well, I would still be on board.
I think that's reflective of a guy who is, I'm saying this part as a joke, Donnie, but you played O-line in high school, and you recognize that there still are weaknesses within this O-line. Here's the other part.
Would you want them to do that for Ault?
I wouldn't. I don't think Ault's that good of a, as good as he's being mocked to be.
See, I think it's a little tough to do that with tackle in this draft, too, because there are more, and right tackle especially, like there are more tackles that are mocked to go in this first round than we've seen in a long, long time.
Here's one other little quick chicken and the egg thing about a wide receiver. People could also make the argument, do you really for sure have a good enough quarterback to get it to two wide receivers? But then I could point to A.J. Brown in Philly and say, did anyone know Jalen Hurts was going to be second in the MVP vote?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.